No way we're going to defeat the Romans, let's just make peace with them. Another group says, peace with them? Are you crazy? We're going to battle them, we're going to win them. And the third one says, you know what, we don't know. Now, the problem was that, like as most extreme groups, when they don't get their way, what do? They dictate their way. That's what they do. That's what extreme groups like to do. So what do? They burn all the food and the sustenance that Jerusalem had, and they had some three wealthy guys, one of them was Kalva Savua, that were able to sustain Jerusalem for many, many years. They burned everything, and basically you have starvation under the Roman siege, or go ahead and fight with them. And in addition to it, you know, we think, at least we, the rabbis, we think that, oh, you know, in the old good days, everyone listened to us, everyone did exactly what we said. Wrong. They listened to us whenever it was convenient for them. Okay? You're talking about Rosh Biryonim. Those extremists did not ask the rabbis for advice. They had their own rabbis. And they told their own rabbis what to say, so in order for them to be their leaders. I will just tell you as a really side note. It's a very interesting thing. You know, there's always the question of the dog and the tail, or the chicken and the egg. Well, the rabbis were the one to influence extremism, or not only rabbis, but also leaders, were the one to influence extremism, or they followed extremism. There's something that is really, it's a very interesting thing. I'll tell you, I read something, I don't know how accurate it is. It was very critical, that I will say. And I also will say that I have no real knowledge about the era. But I will say some of the facts we cannot refute. Really something, and don't get me wrong, I'm not calling them extremism or extremists, but it's something very interesting. Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cook, Zichrono Livracha, Yeshivat Merkaz was really almost down the drain. It was not able to attract, talking about the up between 65 and 69. Yeshivat Merkaz was not in its heydays at all. The vision of Rav Kook, the father of Zichrono Livracha, did not materialize. It was not the merkaz, it was not the center of Jewish spirituality or learning. And really there were discussions about even closing it down. There was just no students. Back then, after 67, looking at all of you, and you will all remember it. I was told about it, you all remember it, which makes you witnesses. There was a tremendous spiritual uplifting in the country. That's perhaps why in 73 there was such a down for everyone, but 67 was the liberation of all what we will call biblical lands, and the spiritual uplifting was incredible. And the movement of settlements, of Ityashvut, of now they call it Nachaluyot, but it's really Ityashvut, so they started going on the ground. They were really start building and going, and you remember the Labour Party was in government, and all these demonstrations, Sabastia and all the others, were while the Labour Party was there, and really the government that helped the most the settlers were the Labour Party, not the Likud. The Likud came along in 77 with the Mahapach. Yeah, the Labour Party were the ones. Okay, so it's very interesting. To some extent, what Gabay, the new head of the Labour Party, by the way, don't remember his name, in 2 months it will be someone else. It's not going to last. So, but whatever, he's trying to go back to the original Labour Party doctrine. Okay, but let's leave politics aside. Basically, most, if not all, but probably 99% of the new Zionists, that's the way they call themselves, who start to settle the new land that we occupied, regained, won, rewarded, gifted, whatever you want, okay? It's open, it's pluralistic. You can pick your own word to describe what's happened after 67. They needed, because they were religious, they needed a spiritual guide in order to validate their thinking and also to authenticate it, and in addition to make it stronger. Meaning it's not a bunch of crazy people with ideology, but it's also rooted in religion. And their connection to Rav Kook, to Rav Tzvi Yehuda, was not natural.
they did not learn in Merkaz. Most of the leaders of the, let's just call it for the sake of discussion, settlers back then did not learn in Merkaz. The thing is that they saw in Rav Tzvi Yehuda, and especially based on his writing and his love for Israel, they saw a spiritual leader. The connection became strong. He found students, and they found a religious inspiration to their actions. Now, why did I bring that? Because here I'm not talking about extremism. I'm not talking about Mered Bar Kokhba that took Rabbi Akiva as a leader, or Rabbi Akiva became the leader of Bar Kokhba. You have it in our Jewish religion. We have it obviously in Christianity. You have it in Islam. That sometimes clergy leadership or leaders are being used or are using groups in order to regain, I'm not saying power, I'm saying influence, which is very interesting thing. Now, how did we get there? Not because we like to deviate, but rather because this is exactly what the Gemara says. Abba Biryoni, who was the head of the most extreme group of Yerushalayim, who basically pushed Yerushalayim for a war against the Romans. He was Bar Achte. He was the son of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's sister, which means his nephew. You would think that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai will have some influence on him. Say, look what he said. Shalachle. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai sent an email, okay, an encrypted email to Abba Sikra. I want to talk to you. Ta betzina legabai. Come privately to my place, so no one knows. Ata. So he came. אמר לעד אימת אבדיתו אחי וכתיתו לאלמה בחפנה. He says, until when are you going to starve the population? You're going to kill them all. Stop it. Open the gates, let the Romans come in, and we will survive. אמר למי אבי. So Abba Sikra says to his cousin, uncle Yochanan, uncle Rabbi Yochanan, he says, מי אבי, what can I do? Dei amina lehu midi katluli. I will tell them something, they will kill me. That's the nature of extremism. If you are not more extreme than us, you have no right to exist. Basically, Abba Sikra says to him, I understand, I know, it's a lost battle, but if I'm going to say it, they'll kill me. So I just need to play along. By the way, what's the price of playing along? Thousands of Jews dies out of starvation. That's not anything to do with the Romans. The Romans did not even shoot one thing. Jews are being starved to death. Because of what? Ideology. That itself sounds very, I don't want to say familiar, but I guess it is familiar. Okay? It's my ideology, or as they say in Memphis, my way or the highway. And if you don't agree with me, sorry. Suffer, because we're not going to change our minds. So even if the head of this building, he understands that that's the truth, he understands that his way will lead to destruction, they will not admit it. So, אמר לחזירי תקנת לדידי דאיפוק, אפשר דאבי הצלה פורטה. He says, you know what, I want you to find for me a way to get out of here, maybe I can find some way, somehow to get out of here and to save Yerushalayim. אמר לנקות נפשך בקסירי ולייתי כולי אלמה ולישיילו בך והייתי מידי סריה ואגני גבך ולימרו דנח נפשך. He says, you know what, I have an idea. Abba Sikra says to his uncle, pretend that you are sick and we're going to spread the rumor that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is sick. People will come and visit you and then we'll say that you die. People who are dead are sick. Put a dead animal next to you and you will stink. So people would say, yes, he died. וליעילו בך תלמידך ולא לעילו באיני שחרינה ולא לריקשן בך דקלילת דהינו יד דחיה קליל ממיתה. He says, and bring your students in and they will be the one to carry you. Why? Because a dead body weighs more than a live body. So only your student will know that you are really not dead, but all the others will think you are dead. אבי דחי, so that's what he did. נכנס בו רבי אליעזר, our guy, רבי אליעזר מצד אחד, ורבי יהושע מצד אחד. Remember those two? רבי אליעזר was the one to argue, and רבי יהושע stood on his feet and said, גמרנו, מספיק. לא בשמיים, it's not in heaven. כמעטו למפיתך, באו למתקרה. So they took the stretcher with רבי יוחנן בן זכאי in order to bury him well outside of ירושלים. So they get to the checking point. And who is in the checking point? Jews, the extremists. They stand there in order not to allow anyone to get out of Yerushalayim. Ba'u lemidkere. They wanted to take their spears just to make sure that the guy's dead. And who is that? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Do you see what's going on? Those extremists, I can sign you right now that they thought that they are the most frum people ever. They're going to what? To poke a body with spears just to make sure that it's a real body. אמר להו יומרו רבן דקרו. So רבי אליעזר, רבי יהושע says to the gatekeepers, it's not nice, we're going to bury him. People would say that he was stabbed, that they would say that they killed the rabbi. באו למתחפה. So they want to what? To push him, because they were suspicious that something is going on here. אמרו להו יומרו רבן דחפו. It's not nice, you know, בכל זאת, you should have some דרך ארץ to the rabbi. פתחו לבבא. So they opened the gate. Nafak. So he get out of Yerushalayim. He got out of Yerushalayim. Kimata lehatam, when he reached the Roman camp, Amar shlama alach malka, shlama halach malka. So he said to the Roman Caesar, or Roman governor, Shalom alecha, my king, shalom alecha, my king. Amar le, mechai vatrei katla. Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, you deserve two times to die. Why? Chada, בלב מלכה אנה וקקרי למלכה. Hey, I'm not a king, and you call me a king, which is what? Basically, you are a chutzpedik to the real king in Rome. ותו, אם מלכה אנה, עד העידנה, מה לא עתית לגבי? If I'm a king, why didn't you come until now? Why did you wait? אמר לי, דקאמרת לב מלכה אנה, but you told me that you are not a king yet? עברה מלכהת, you are a king. ואי לב מלכהת, לא ממסרה ירושלים בידך. Because if you are not a king, you will never be able to do what? To conquer Jerusalem. Because Jerusalem will be conquered only by the hands of a king, not just a chief of staff, a king. דכתיבה לבנון באדיר יפול, ואין אדיר אל המלך. דכתיבה היה אדירו ממנו, ואין לבנון אל בית המקדש. ודכאמר, אם מלכה אנה, עמי לא קעתת לגבי יד העידנה, בריון הדעית בן לא שפקינה. And for your second claim that you ask, why didn't I come until now? Because of what? The bullies, the extremists. אמר לי, page number 7, אילו חבית של דבש ודרכון כרוך עליה, לא היו שוברים את החבית בשביל הדרכון? This guy asked רבי יוחנן בן זכאי a very tough question. He says, I don't understand. You have a barrel. That barrel had, it's a honey barrel or a wine barrel. There is a snake. You want to save the barrel. What would you do? Kill the snake. Which means, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, why didn't you kill the bullies? You know what's the problem? The question is much stronger than any other answer. Ishtik. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was silent. He didn't know the answer. I think that this is one of the sources for what we call the silent majority. You know why it's called silent majority? Because they are silent. That's the problem of society. We have extremists. We have extreme groups. We let them dictate the day. Because they're just a group. They come and go. And you know what's happened at the end? Look at Austria. Look at Germany. Look at America. Look at England with their Brexit decision. It's all because of fear. I'm not saying it's imaginable. It's a fear. They don't know what to do with immigrants. But basically, if I will tell you 15 years ago that those extreme groups will be in government, you will laugh at me. If I will tell you that they will be the head of their countries, you will say I'm crazy. But that's the nature of society.
And those are the people that you compare with Ralph
Cook? No. Chas v'shalom. I brought the example of Ralph Cook just to show how groups that were on the fringes will like to have a religious or a spiritual leader in order to validate their opinions, A, and B, for, you can disagree with it. It's okay, it's not Torah, it's an analysis. The what?
As far as Tzvi Yehuda Kuk is concerned.
Okay, you may be right. I told you, I don't have all the information. I just can tell you the facts. If you look at Merkaz Harav, at the attendance of students between 65 to 70, you will see that they were about to close down.
Between 65 to 70, 67
like that? No. Talking the decline of Merkaz already began before. 67 was the uplifting spiritually, and then people were looking for some. But between 65 to 69, if I'm not mistaken, the attendance or the roster of Merkaz students were really down. He barely had students. So he was looking for students, and they were looking for a rabbi. So that was a good mixture. But again, you can totally disregard it. So he ishtik. So he was silent. Kari alei Rav Yosef b'itema Rabbi Akiva meshiv chachamim achor v'da'atam yisakel. Ibai alei lemeim alei shaklinan tzavta v'shaklinan le dedarkon v'katlinan le v'chavita shavkinan le. So he says that Rabbi Akiva says that, you know the Monday morning quarterbacks? You know, you look at the game and you say, oh, he should have... That's football, American football. Rabbi Akiva, after he heard about that story, says, oh, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had to say something else. Look, we don't need to kill the snake, and we don't need to break the barrel. What we needed is a tzvat. What is a tzvat? What do you call it?
Tongues.
And take the snake out. So we don't need to kill anyone. But he didn't say it. He didn't say it. Ade achi. So there is this silence between Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and the Roman Caesar that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai called him a king. אנו חשיב את רומי ואמרי, עד אחי, עתי פריסקת עליה מרומי, אמר לקום ומית לקיסר, ואמרי, אנו חשיב את רומי לאותיבה ברישה. So he got a message from Rome that the Roman Caesar died and he becomes now the Roman Caesar. So, רבי יוחנן בן זכאי was אבי סיים חד מסני, באי למסיים אל האחרינה לא איל, באי למשטפה לאידך לא נפק. So he was putting his shoes on. He already put one, he tried to put the other one, and the other one just will not go in. So he tried to get off the other one that was already on him, and he couldn't. So he said, my height. He says, what's going on with me? So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said to him, לא תצטער, שמועה טובה את ילך. You got a good rumor, שמועה טובה. And it says, שמועה טובה, תדשן, תדשן עצם. A good news will make you
swell.
You will swell. So don't worry, it's a good thing. Avad achi ay. Amar lehu me'achar dechakmi tuku le'ay. Ad ha'id na'amai lo atidu le'gabay. He says, if you are so smart, why didn't you come to me until now? He says, I told you. I said, I told you too. You told me the extremists, I told you what to do with them. Amar le meza lazlina v'ini shacharina meshadrana. Ela bay minay midi de'etela. He says, you know what, look, I'm going back to Rome. I'm going to be a Roman Caesar. I'm going to send someone here to destroy Jerusalem. But you know what? You are a likable guy. You are a smart guy. Ask for me one thing and I'll give it to you. Amar le, ten li yavne v'chachamea, v'shushilta de Rabban Gamliel, v'asfata de Messiah l'Rabbi Tzadok. Says, this is the order. You ask me for one thing, I'm asking you for three things. Give me Yavne. I know Jerusalem is gone. I want to reestablish the religious center where? In Yavne. Also, I want you to save the dynasty of Rabban Gamliel. It's very interesting. Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai was not from the dynasty of Rabban Gamliel and the king of David, of the dynasty of the house of David, but he asked for it because he knew they need to have lineage. And I want you to give me medication for Rabbi Tzadok. Rabbi Tzadok, for all this time, basically starved himself. He ate only grot, he ate only like dried dates or whatever it is, once a week. He prayed and he fasted for the sake of Yerushalayim. And he gave it. By the way, it's an interesting thing. I don't know if the Roman Caesar really realized it. But when Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai asked for the dynasty of Rabban Gamliel, he basically told the Roman Caesar what? You're going to destroy us now. But the future, we will have a king from the dynasty of David. I don't think he got the Caesar, but it's okay. Instead, that they shouldn't. We did. Okay. So according to that, Rabbi Eliezer was the student of Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. And he definitely saw himself as his protege, and basically he's the one to continue the Masoret, the tradition. Therefore you need to listen. Because don't forget, we are still in the first Gemara. So now take a look at Rabbi Yehoshua. So page number 7, where it says Ma'amado shel Rabbi Yehoshua ben Hananya, meaning the status of Rabbi Yehoshua. Tanu Rabbanan. Kesheharav habayit bashniya, when the second temple was destroyed, Rabu prushim beYisrael shelo leechol basar veshelo lishtot yain. So many people, again, extremism, said, you know what, we're not going to eat meat, we're not going to drink wine. נטפה להם רבי יהושע. So רבי יהושע went and mingled with the crowd and says, בני, my children, מפני מה אין אתם אוכלים בשר ואין אתם שותים ים? Why don't you eat meat and why don't you drink wine? אמרו לו, נאכל בשר שממנו מקריבים על גבי המזבח ועכשיו בטל? נשתה יין שמנסחים על גבי מזבח ועכשיו בטל? How can we eat meat? It reminds us what? The sacrifice. How can we drink wine? It reminds us the libation, the wine libation.
Amar
Why is
that extremism?
What?
Why is that extremism?
Why is not?
Because they've avelut, they've lost the mikdash, and it's a thing of mourning we do during our days.
Very good.
Do
I want to ask you a question.
Extremism?
Yes.
I call that a reaction to being really sad that they lost the mikdash.
Very good. I want to ask you a question. Are you allowed to extend that for more than 9 days? I mean, I'm not talking if you want to be vegetarian. Just because you are in Avelut, are you allowed to continue not to eat meat and not to drink wine?
I guess if a body of Rabbanim suggested to do that.
Not body of Rabbanim. You, we people, we hate the fact that there is a mask on the Temple Mount and we want to be in mourning. Can we make a decision not to eat meat, not to drink wine, including Shabbat and Yom Tov?
No.
No. Why? Because that's excessive. You want to call it excessive and not extreme, your choice of words. It's an extreme reaction.
I think it's just a reaction.
It's an extreme reaction. You want another proof? There is Marayin Moed Katan. It talks about the idea that Shmuel's neighbor lost a child. And she was crying and crying and crying. And for 7 days she was crying for the Shiva. And Shmuel was okay with it. After that, for Shloshim, she was crying and crying. After that, he told her, stop crying. It's an extreme reaction. You are acting in an extreme behavior. If you continue to cry, you will cry, God forbid, on another calamity. She didn't stop. And unfortunately, she had another calamity. She had another tragedy in her family. Which means, after you have a natural reaction, if you do more than that, it's become obsessive or it's become an extreme reaction. It's not normal.
I think that the continuation of that Gemara was maybe the fact that I think afterwards it says that they stopped music and they stopped the other things.
We'll see immediately.
So maybe that's the extremism.
We'll see the interpretation of the Gemara in a different way in just a few minutes, few lines. So Amar Lahem, Im Ken, Lechem Lo Nochal, Shekvar Batlu Menachot. So don't eat bread. Why? Because they will bring it with a Menachot offering. 10 loaves of bread with every Mincha, and if it's Korban Todah, you will bring what? 40 loaves of bread. אפשר בפירות. So they said, you know what, maybe we should eat fruits, only fruits. Does that make sense? That's when you don't think. You start saying things that are totally illogical. לא נאכל שכבר בטלו ביקורים. He says, no, fruits you can't eat, because first fruits, ביקורים. אפשר בפירות אחרים, maybe not the 7 species. Maybe you will bring other fruits. מים לא נשתה שכבר בטל ניסוח המים. Don't drink water, there is water libation, especially we just finished Sukkot. שתקו. So they were silent. אמר להם בני, says to them children, בואו ואומר לכם, let me tell, שלא להתאבל כל עיקר אי אפשר, not to mourn at all, we can't, because we Jews, we live history, we don't only remember history, it's a living thing for us, שכבר נגזרה גזרה, ולהתאבל יותר מדי אי אפשר, and to excessively mourn, we can't, מפני שאין גוזרים גזרה לציבור, אלא אם כן רוב הציבור יכולים לעמוד בה. You're not making a decree if the public cannot fulfill it. אלא, כך אמרו חכמים, סד אדם את ביתו בסיד, ומשייר בו דבר מועט. עושה אדם כל צורכי סודם, skipping, ומשייר דבר מועט. So what do? We live our lives normally, but we always create little reminders. You want to build a palace? Build it. One unpainted corner. You want to create a meal? Wonderful. One thing that is going to be missing. You want to do a wedding? Wonderful. Break a glass. Which means Rabbi Yehoshua tells the people. And it's not like Rabbi Eliezer who is distant from the people. Rabbi Yehoshua is part of the people. And he guides them. And he says to them, don't follow the same not smart idea of the extreme people in Jerusalem before the destruction of the temple. Don't do it. Try to find balance in your life. And the balance is live your life and at the same time remember the destruction of Jerusalem. Which means what? No to extremism. Yes to what? To balanced life. So that's what Rabbi Yehoshua is trying to get, especially as a lesson out of the destruction. Rabbi Eliezer, unlike Rabbi Yehoshua, said, look, I'm not talking about balance, shmelance, about the people. Let me dictate to the people. I know what's best for them, even without talking to them. That's Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yehoshua says, no. You need to be part of the people. Not only that you need to be part of the people, you need to nitpal lahem. What is nitpal lahem? He associated himself with them. They didn't ask for his opinion. He came and engaged himself in a conversation with them. What else do we know about Rabbi Yehoshua? The Gemara in Eruvin says, Amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Hanani, Miyamai lo nitzchani adam chutz meisha tinok vetinoket. He says, I had many arguments with many people. I lost only three times. To whom? To isha, to a woman, to a tinok and tinoket, a young child and a young boy and a young girl. Isha mahi. Pam achat itarach bitzel achsani achat. I once was hosted by a family. Astali pulin. So she made for me, I guess, pulin would be what? Maybe like hummus. Or beans. Maybe beans. What is that?
Full.
Okay. Bayom harishon achaltim velo shiarti mehem klum. So I ate it all. Shnia. לא שיארתי מהם כלום. So the second day, she gave me the same thing and I ate it all. ביום שלישי, הקדחתן במלח. So she put too much salt. כיוון שטעמתי, משכתי ידיים מהן. I tasted it and it was so salty, I just couldn't eat. אמרה לי רבי, מפני מה אין חסוי, why don't you eat? אמרתי לה, כבר סעדתי מבודם. Oh, I already ate something before. You know, whenever you have someone tell you, you know, I'm already full. You're not sure that your food is so good. אמרה לי, היה לך למשוך את חם מן הפת, but I saw that you ate bread. So if you already ate something before, why did you eat bread? Why didn't you eat what? The cooked food. אמרה לי, רבי, שמה לא הנחת פאה בראשונים, ולא כך אמרו חכמים, אין משרים פאה ביפס, אבל משרים פאה בקערה. Which means what, רבי? If you don't like it, you don't need to eat it all. You should have some leftovers and I will know that you don't like it so much. She won. By the way, interesting thing, just as a side note. You see that this rabbi not only did not hide his face not talking to a woman, he really had a conversation with her. Okay? Just as a side note for all the very frum rabbis, okay? He did speak to a woman. Not only that, he was hosted by her. Now, I don't know if she was married, I don't know if she had a motel, a hostel, maybe she had a hotel, I don't know exactly. But no question that she served him, and she had a conversation with him, and she looked exactly what he's eating. There was no question about it. So that's Rabbi Yehoshua. So what do you see from here? He learned from everyone, even from a woman. Tinoket, Mahi. So what's this deal with this young girl? פעם אחת הייתי מהלך בדרך, so I was walking. הייתה דרך עוברת בשדה והייתי מהלך בה, so I was walking in the field, and this little girl was also walking in the field. אמרה לי תינוקת אחת, רבי, לא שדה היא זו? She told me, isn't that a field which belongs to someone? אמרתי לה, לא, דרך כבושה היא, no, it's something that the public already basically possessed. Does not belong to a private person, it belongs to the public. אמרה לי, ליסטים כמותך כבשוה. Thieves like you did it. What's going on here? you know, it's many times, it's when you're cutting through yards, you know, in order to get someone,
the shortcuts.
People like to do it, especially when they have to shortcut to shul. So they shortcut through backyards. Many people will tell you, it's not a private property, everyone goes. Yeah, because everyone goes, it's not a private anymore. Did you ask permission? Did you ask the guy for permission? So basically she gave him her rebuke. The fact that everyone else does it does not mean the owner agreed. It's still a sadeh. And Rabbi Yehoshua said, you are right, I was wrong.
Wow.
You have someone who loves people, not only loves people, knows that he can learn from them. Rabbi Eliezer, on the other end, I'm not saying that for people, he was arrogant. I'm just saying that he was the scholar of the generation. He said, who else can teach me? I learned everything from Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. You see the differences in personalities? Now we can understand, reflecting on our Gemara. Rabbi Eliezer, very strong, very assertive, to some extent even aggressive. And you have Rabbi Yehoshua, said, I'm not going into all those arguments. It's just lo v'shamayim, and whatever the majority people say, that's what goes. Now let's see with this young boy. וראיתי תינוק יושב על פרשת דרכים ואמרתי לו באיזה דרך נלך לעיר. So I saw a young boy sitting in a junction and I asked him, you know, what should I go? What path should I choose? אמר לי זו קצרה וארוכה וזו ארוכה וקצרה. This one is short and long and this one is long and short. I don't know why this young boy can just tell him take right, take left. But this young boy told him in a riddle. והלכתי בקצרה וארוכה. So I took the short, which is long. כיוון שהגעתי לעיר, מצאתי שמקיפין אותה גנות ופרדסים, חזרתי לאחוריי. I reached the city, but the city was surrounded with fields and orchards and all of that, so I couldn't go in, so I had to go back. אמרתי לו, בני, לא אמרת לי קצרה. I said to that young boy, you told me that's the short one. אמרתי, ולא אמרתי לך ארוכה, I didn't tell you it's the long one. You wanted to hear only the first part of the sentence, not the second one. נשקתי על ראשו, I gave him a kiss. He didn't give a kiss to the young girl. Mm-hmm. Also, we can learn something from it. He gave a kiss to the young boy. I don't know if we can learn something about him either. ואמרתי לו, אשריכם ישראל שכולכם חכמים גדולים אתם מגדולכם ועד קטנכם. Praise you, O Israel, that you are all smart people. What do you see from here? Wisdom is not limited to one person or one sage. It's for everyone. When you come with that perspective to the Beit Midrash, it's a different approach. So that's Rabbi Yehoshua. Now, take a look on page 8. This is also, whenever I read it, I don't know, I'm shocked. Every time. It's the Gemara in Horayot. The Gemara in Horayot says the following. Ki had Rabban Gamliel, that's page number 8, the second source. Ki had Rabban Gamliel Rabbi Yehoshua was le besfinta. Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Yehoshua went on a boat. Where did they go? They probably went to Rome to ask for favors for the Jewish people in Israel, or they went to raise money for the yeshivot. You think it's only in America? No. They went to collect money because they needed money. אבואז לבסקינטה, so they went on a boat. בהדי רבן גמליאל ופיטה, בהדי רבי יהושע ופיטה וסולטה. So רבן גמליאל had bread, פיטה, ורבי יהושע had pot, but also solid. Also, what do you call solid? What is solid? Barley? No.
It's
flour?
Cream of wheat.
Okay, got it. שנים פיטה דרבן גמליאל, סמיך הסולטה דרבי יהושע. So, Rabban Gamliel finished his part, but they had to do a roof. So they counted on the salt, on the cream of the wheat, you called it?
Cream of wheat.
Cream of wheat, of Rabbi Yehoshua. Rabban Gamliel says to Rabbi Yehoshua, you are so smart that you knew that there is going to be delay on the boat, so you brought more food that we can sustain, that can sustain us and can last for longer. Amar le, sure. כוכב אחד ב-70 שנה עולה, הוא מטעה את הספינות, ואמרתי, שם יעלה ויתה אותנו. שוב, I'm a pretty much of an astrologist, or whatever, not astrologist, probably, what do you call it? An astrologer, no? Not astrologer, whatever. Astrologist, I know the stars, and I know there is a star that can basically deceive the captains of the boats.
Astronomy.
Astronomy, thank you. and it can lead us astray. So I brought to food that can last longer. אמר לי, כל כך בידך, ואתה עולה בסדר, so smart and you come with me? אמר לי, כשאתה תמה עליי, you think I'm smart? תמה על שני התלמידים שיש לך ביבשה. There are two students in your community, רב לזר חיסמן, רבי יוחנן בן גודגודה, שיודעים לשער כמה טיפות יש בים. That they know how many drops of, how many drops there are in the ocean. ואין להם פת לאכול ולא בגד ללבוש. They don't have food to eat or clothes to wear. So נתן דעתו להושיבם בראש. So רבן גמליאל said, you know what, when I come back, I'm going to put them as Rashi Yeshiva or rabbis, and so I will be able to support them. So they didn't want to come. A, because they didn't like Rabban Gamliel so much, and B, because they didn't want to have the appointment. But he told them, it's not an appointment. You think I'm giving you authority to govern? No, I'm giving you slavery. If you are a public servant,
true,
that's what you are. So the thing is, why am I shocked every time I read? It's because you, Rabban Gamliel, that we're going to talk about Rabban Gamliel in a minute, he was the president of the Sanhedrin. And he had the lineage. He didn't know how the simple people live. And you have rabbis who starve to death. And he's still totally oblivious. So you have Rabbi Eliezer who is oblivious to other people's wisdom. You have Rabban Gamliel who is oblivious to the economical and financial situation of the rabbis and the people. And you have Rabbi Yehoshua, who is very involved with the people and appreciate their wisdom and also well aware of their financial situation. Now, when you put three different personalities like that in one room, what do you have? Balagan is the nice thing. The not nice thing, it's what we call Siach Hershim. You have three deaf people trying to talk to each other and to explain to each other things. They can't hear. They come from three different worlds. That's why you have and chaos and also tremendous tension. So take a look at the status of Rabban Gamliel. That's page number 8. The Gemara in the Kama in the Gimel says, "Amesacher kumi, arei ze midarkei ha'emori." So there was, I don't know exactly what is kumi, but I think according to some people, it's like shave here and I guess live here. The Romans used to have that kind of hair cut.
Mohawk.
Mohawk.
Yeah, it's a mohawk, like a mohawk.
The mohawk, yeah. And so that's called, considered as following the laws of the Amorites. Avtu musbar yuven etiru lo lesaper kumi bepnei shu karov lamalchut shel ben shel rabbi Rabban Gamliel etiru lo lesaper bechokhma yevanit mepnei shekrovim lamalchut. Rabban Gamliel was not only the head of the Sanhedrin, but he was also the political leader of the Jewish people. And he represented the Jewish people in front of the Romans government. You know, the Romans, basically, what they did, they created autonomies based on religion, race, or nations. Unlike Sanherib, for example, of Babel, that wanted to mix everyone together, or the Greeks that tried to influence identity, the Romans didn't care. You pay taxes, you are loyal to us, you can run your own business. So Rabban Gamliel was Karov Lamalchut, he was associated with the government, and in order for him to be able to engage himself in conversations, he was allowed to learn Chochma Yevanit, and also to do things that for a normal Jew, or an average Jew who is not associated with the government, was not allowed. So obviously he saw himself as someone who is, what would I say?
Privileged.
Muram Me'am, privileged. Right. And the Gemara continues in Brachot. Mishnah rachatz laila rishona shemeta ishto. He went to the bathtub or to the bathhouse the first night that his wife died. Amar lo kamru lo talmidav limadetanu rabbeinu shafir asur lirchotz. You told us that a mourner cannot go and take a shower. Amar lem eini kishar bnei adam istenis ani'ah. I spoke about all the other people. I'm not like them. It's very much like communism. Everyone is equal, but there are some people who are equal a little bit more. I'm an Easternist, or more equal than others. I'm Easternist. I'm a special person. I cannot not go one day without taking a shower, delicate, and therefore I'm going to take a shower. קיבל עליו תנחומים. When his servant, who was not Jewish, died, he said, so-called the Shiva, he was able to accept the תנחומים. אמרו לו תמידיו, לימדתנו רבינו שהם מקבלים תנחומים על העבדים. You taught us that we should not get consolation, I guess, on condolences, on עבדים, on slaves. He says, oh, אין תאבי עבדי כשאר עבדים, כאשר היה my servant, my slave was different. So not only me, it's also my slave. I guess that when his dog died, he also said, my dog is not like the other dogs. My dog is a special dog. He's a Rabban Gamliel dog. Okay? So he basically, Rabban Gamliel, viewed himself as someone who is Mura Mea. Now, that led him to something very interesting. Before we go into the last source on page 8, we made this little introduction from like 4 weeks ago when we started dealing with the issues of the Gemara. And we said that basically what's happened is that Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai was the head of the Sanhedrin at the time of the last days of the destruction of the temple, and he took the Jewish people for their post-destruction. Now, as we said, he was not from the dynasty of Rabban Gamliel, there was no one else, everyone else was slaughtered. Rabban Gamliel saved, but he was really too young, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai took basically the reins and was the leader of the Jewish people, the religious leader, and probably even the political leader to some extent. Now, Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai did many things in order to remember the destruction of the temple and to allow Jewish people to continue their lives without the temple. Many of the takanot that Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai did, many of them are in Masechet Beitza, were in order to somehow remember the temple, but to live your life religiously and halachically without the temple. Okay. Now, what happened was, because you don't really have a Sanhedrin in the Azara, and the Jewish people are spread all over the place, and they are under Roman control, there is no, what I will call, a central Jewish religious halachic body. They are spread all over the place. Now, many of them are in Yavne, but we know that even in that time, Rabbi Akiva is where? In? Nebra. Rabbi Eliezer was in Lod. No one in Yerushalayim. It's very interesting. They are all over the place. There is Rav Avdim in the Bin Haifa. Okay, you have Akko. You have all over the place, not in Yerushalayim, especially. By the way, that's years later, but after Bar Kokhba's failure, and the Jews are expelled from Jerusalem, and it's becoming Ilia Kapitolina. By the way, the archaeological dig that they found this theater next to the Kotel also proved that basically the Jews basically expelled all the Jews, not allowed Jews to be in Yerushalayim, by the way. It was Judenrite.
The Romans, not the Jews.
I said Romans. The Romans expelled the Jews from Jerusalem and basically transformed Yerushalayim to Ilia Kapitolina, which was an idol, one of their idols, and basically transformed Jerusalem to idolatrous city. They build those amphitheaters, like in Caesarea, when you can find in every other city, which is an interesting thing. So, there was a chaos. There was no one central body. Very much like what we have today. It's very similar, so it's very easy for us to relate. Every rabbi is a rabbi, and if you don't have a rabbi, you have a Google rabbi. No, it's out there. And what's happened is that Rabban Gamliel, who came after Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai died, and Rabban Gamliel was old enough to take over, and we will see that he was not chosen because he was the smartest. He was chosen because of his lineage. And he decided, you know what? I'm not saying he's that smart. I'm just saying that there were other people who are smarter and wiser than him. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, and others. Rabbi Lazar ben Arach. However, Rabban Gamliel, as someone who came from dynasty, he knew how to create order, how to organize things. And he says, look, this chaos, of halachic chaos, needs to come to an end. I need to organize things, and in order to organize things and to bring things back to one body, what do you need to be? A dictator. I'm not talking about Fidel Castro. I'm talking about to be a halachic dictator, to some extent. To exercise your authority and to tell rabbis, we all need to be on the same page. You don't like it? sorry, that's what we're going to do. So I'm going to bring you some examples of what Rabban Gamliel did and what kind of reaction and opposition he had. So, for example, Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Kaf Dalet, last source on page 8. Mishnah, Ma'aseh Shebaru Shnayim Ve'amru Reinu Shachrit Bamizrach Ve'Arbit Bamarav. So two witnesses came to sanctify the new month, to testify about the new moon. And so we, in the morning we saw it in the east, and at night we saw it at the west. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, Edei Shekerem. False witnesses, how can you do it? Naturally, it cannot happen. Shebaru Yavne, when they came to Yavne, who is in Yavne? Rabban Gamliel. Kiblan. It's okay. You are right, we're going to want to sanctify the new moon. ועוד באו שניים ואמרו ראינו בזמנו וללי בורו לא נראה וקיבלן רבן גמליאל אמר רבי דוסה בן הורקין עשה די שקר הם אנחנו מעידים על האישה שילדה ולמחר קריסה בן שיניה אמר לו רבי יהושע רואה אני את דבריך So what's happened here? You have two witnesses that came and said look we saw the moon in its time but the night before we didn't see basically you say what? A woman gave birth and then you say she's still pregnant It can't happen. If she gave birth, she's not pregnant anymore. Rabbi Yehoshua says, you are right. Those two witnesses, you know what, with all due respect to Rabban Gamliel, he's wrong. שלח לו רבן גמליאל, גוזרני עליך, שתבוא אצלי במקלך ובמעותיך ביום הכיפורים שחל בחשבונך. רבן גמליאל in Yavne heard that Rabbi Yehoshua is disputing him regarding those witnesses. He says, you know what? 10th of Tishrei, that happens to be what? Yom Kippur. Based on your calculation, not based on mine, for me, it's only the 9th. You come to me, and you're going to do Tiltul, that you're not allowed to do on Yom Kippur, because if there is no Eru, and you're going to come to me. הלך ומצאו רבי עקיבא מיצר. So Rabbi Yehoshua, Rabbi Akiva found him, and he saw that Rabbi Yehoshua doesn't know what to do with himself. How can I go and desecrate my Yom Kippur? So Rabbi Akiva says, אמר לו, יש לי ללמוד שכל מה שעשה רבן גמליאל עשוי, שנאמר, אלה תעשו לה במועדי השם מקראי קודש אשר תקראו אותם, בין מזמנן, בין שלא בזמנן. אין לי מועדות אלא הם. So Rabbi Akiva says to Rabbi Yehoshua, says, look, what can you do? You know, I know he's wrong. But the Torah says that even if he's wrong, that's what you do. Basically, what Rabbi Akiva says to Rabbi Yehoshua, we all know that this head of the Sanhedrin is all wrong. But no, I can't dispute it. So, באנו אצל רבי דוסה בן הרקינס, אמר לו, אם אנו באים לדון אחר בית דינו של רבן גמליאל, צריכים אנו לדון אחר כל בית דין ודין שממות משה ועד עכשיו. Because if we're going to dispute רבן גמליאל and his בית דין, we're going to what? We will need to re-evaluate every בית דין since Moshe Rabbeinu, and we're not going to do it. So Rabbi Yehoshua went to Rabban Gamliel. נתן מקלו ומעותיו בידו, והלך ליבנה אצל רבן גמליאל, ביום שחל יום הכיפורים, להיות בחשבונו. עמד רבן גמליאל ונשקור על ראשו, אמר לו, בוא בשלום רבי ותלמידי. רבי בחוכמה ותלמידי שקיבלת את דבריי. רבי יהושע ססטו רבי, רבן גמליאל ססטו רבי יהושע. You are my rabbi and my student. You are my rabbi, I know you are smarter than me. And you know what? You probably were right and I was wrong. But don't confuse me with the facts. I'm the head of the Sanhedrin, and you are my student. How would you call that behavior? I'll give you some words. Aggressive, assertive, right, exercising authority. What would you say? You can say all day about me.
Driver.
I would like to say assertive. We have an issue here. It's an interesting thing. Almost repetitive to the first Gemara that we start discussing. Here we know that the halacha accords with one, but we will follow the halacha even though we know it's wrong because of external issues. Here it's because we don't want to create a halacha chaos. There, because we didn't want the other generations to start thinking on their own too much. What we see here is that when you have no direction, there is someone who wants to meet you. And Rabban Gamliel is doing it, and Rabbi Yehoshua accepts it, even though he is smarter, he does not even try to argue with Rabbi Gamliel. He says, look, Rabbi Gamliel, I came here. But look, you are wrong. I'm right. Let's do something. No, because Rabbi Gamliel said that Yom Kippur will be tomorrow. That's it. So if Rabbi Akiva says Yom Kippur is tomorrow, Yom Kippur is tomorrow.
Scary?
You should speak up. Yeah, it is scary. It is scary. It is so scary because this one is, you know what? What's happened when someone says to you something that can... Do what? He happens to be the head of the Sanhedrin. But... I love your Ayin Tova, really, of how to defend him. The problem is that even as the head of the Sanhedrin, in the time of the quote-unquote real Sanhedrin in Yerushalayim, the head of the Sanhedrin did not have dictatorship. They followed the majority. And to the extent that in capital cases, they told him, please be quiet until everyone else speaks. Because if not, everyone will be afraid.
If your father tells you to lechalel Shabbat, asur.
Very good. We do have, there is no such a thing halachic dictatorship. There is now. Okay, modern times going to Rabban Gamliel too. But it was not like that. There was a consensus. Later on, don't get me wrong, after there was a consensus, the Sanhedrin decided that we're going to do A, and a rabbi in Haifa decided we're going to do B, he will be considered as Zaken Mamre. He's going to execute him. But if this Zaken Mamre says, look, I was there in the Sanhedrin and I think they are all stupid. They just didn't listen to me. So what can we do? We're going to do what the Sanhedrin does, but I'm telling you, they are all wrong. Will he be considered Zaken Mamre? No. Because you can teach the way you think to do, you do with everyone else. Yes.
Well, what's the point of having a Sanhedrin at all if the head of the Sanhedrin is the one who decides?
Oh, here with Rabban Gamliel?
Yeah.
Rabban Gamliel, I think, had a different perspective on Sanhedrin. That's A. And B, I don't want to judge him because of the circumstances. The circumstances were such that, in a way, Rabban Gamliel, to some extent, saved Judaism.
It's kind of a wartime situation like Churchill.
Exactly. The question is how long you extend what we call Sha'at HaDchak. That's the real question. Until when you say, you know what, mistake. It's time for liberty, or liberation, or more, for more opinions. Or you say, no, it's still Sha'at HaDchak. It's a time of need, and you need to react. By the way, I think, and I would suggest, and we'll conclude here, and we'll continue next week with Zod Hashem, I think that part of the discussion or the disagreement between Haredim and modern Orthodox is about that question as well. Are we still in Sha'at HaDchak? Or we are in a time where we can be more open, feel more open, think more open, make halach decisions more openly or with consideration of more things, rather than just to try to keep the authority and the halakhic authority in our hands. But that's for a later discussion. So that's for today.
So great.